Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, as you've been hearing over the morning, Ireland's water quality is showing no signs of improvement at all. One of the main reasons for that is pollution from agriculture. This is according to the Environmental Protection Agency, which says intensive farming practices are doing particular damage in the east, the south and the southeast of the country. And this could have significant implications for farmers, with the European Commission due to decide on Ireland's derogation from the Nitrates Directive in just 18 months' time. And water quality is key to that. Well, I'm joined now by Francie Gorman, who is president of the Irish Farmers Association, and Elaine McGough, who is head of advocacy with On Tashkin. Thank you both for joining us. Francie, this water quality report from the Environmental Protection Agency, and we know the Nitrates Directive and the decision on that, is really hinged on what we do when it comes to water quality. Do you agree that this report is the nail in the coffin of the nitrates derogation for Ireland?
Well, firstly, good morning, Claire and Elaine. It's good to be on. I don't, actually, but I think water quality is something, as farmers, that is very much to the forefront of our minds in everything that we do at the moment. And there's no doubt that it's an issue that has to be addressed by us as farmers in a much greater way. And we're taking steps to do that.
It's not working, though.
I think it is working. A lot of the blame on water quality seems to be put on farmers. And if you look, stock numbers are generally in the country stable for the last 25 years. We have less cattle in the country than we had when we joined the European Union. And to be fair, I think dairy expansion is often fingered as being a contributing factor. Since milk quotas were abolished, cow numbers have increased substantially, but yet water quality is stabilising at the moment. So I think
but it's
we're
not
maybe
improving.
Not,
it's not improving, and we have to improve it. And just going back to this EPA report, it says
has,
the quality.
Has,
just
to be
can
fair,
I can just
I
make
think,
this point, Francie? The quality of our water bodies will not improve until nutrient levels are reduced in areas where they're elevated. Bottom line.
Yeah, and if you look at the science from Chagas, they will say that reducing stocking rate numbers in the derogation from 250 to 220 will deliver no discernible improvement in water quality. So, and look, I think Claire, it's important here that we have balance in this debate. Of course, as farmers, we always have a mind. Nobody wants to be accused, or nobody wants to even, disimprove water quality in any shape or form. But there has to be balance in this debate, not just about water quality, but the environment, the social and the economic impact that this debate has on rural Ireland as well. And as I said earlier on, Chagas believe that even if we reduce stock numbers, it's not going to deliver an improvement in water quality. But if you mentioned the derogation earlier on, if we lose that derogation, the economic and social consequences in rural Ireland are unthinkable. And I think that needs to be brought into the debate as well. What we do need is a greater level of balance around that.
And
that point has to be made. And we've met Elaine, and we've met Antashka around this.
Okay,
we need a whole
let's hear directly from Elaine now. Okay, Dr. Elaine McGough, to respond to that. And you heard what Francie said, that reducing the stock numbers of animals in this country, farmed animals, will not result in water quality improvements. What do you say?
I say that's not true. I mean, Francie is looking at what Chagas have said about a reduction from 250 to 220 not delivering a massive improvement, and that is accurate. But then the question is, how far do we need to reduce it to get that water quality improvement? That's the key question. That's what we need to be looking at, because the measures we have been putting in place are not working. And the reason the measures aren't working is because they're not actually addressing nitrogen. They're addressing lots of other things, lots of other good things like reducing ammonia, improving biodiversity, preventing phosphorus and silt. But we do not currently have a solution that addresses the nitrate problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it boils down to. And so, I mean, Francie is right. We do need balance in this debate.
Yeah.
I mean, there is massive economic ramifications. But more than anything, we need honesty. And that's what we're lacking.
So are you saying that the majority of farmers are doing what is asked of them at the moment, but it's not working?
Exactly. Farmers are being asked to put the wrong measures in place, if you like, or the measures they're putting in place are good for certain things, but they're not. If we're talking about nitrogen, and bear in mind that nitrogen is one of the major pressures in the south and southeast, the measures we're putting in place for that are not working. They're not designed to target nitrogen. We have a nitrogen problem with a phosphate solution. Like, it's illogical.
So are you saying then that the only solution, if we want to improve our water quality, is to take the cattle off the land?
That has to be part of the solution. There's areas like the Slaney and the Barrow that have 50% too much nitrogen. Now, that nitrogen is coming from all of the land that feeds into the river. It funnels down off all of the land. So we need to take a catchment approach. We need to zoom out and look at all of the land that feeds that river and figure out what the nitrogen load is and how we reduce it. Like, this needs to be all hands on deck. It's not just farming. It's also wastewater. It's also septic tanks. We all play a role. But in terms of Francie's point about agriculture being blamed, like, agriculture for a decade now has been the biggest pressure on water quality. Of course it's in the spotlight. It has to be.
Mm-hmm. Just on the derogation again, Francie, like, Denmark now has announced they're giving up their derogation because they've admitted that they can't improve their water quality in time according to the rules. So we're the only country trying to retain it. I mean, does there come a point where you say, look, this is a waste of time. Let's focus our political energy elsewhere instead of chasing what is now a lost cause?
Yeah, so just going back to the point about agriculture's contribution. Firstly, we've reduced nitrogen usage in the country by 30% over the last 2 years. Secondly, of course agriculture is going to play a big part in all our targets, because we are an agricultural-based country. That's what we do. We produce food for 50 million people in this country in a more sustainable way than most places on the planet. In terms of water quality, we don't have that bad a story to tell on water quality. We have the fourth best groundwater quality in Europe. But we need to improve. We're not saying we don't. There's nobody looking for a free pass here. There was an initiative taken up at, announced by Chagas last week around better farming for water. There are 8 key measures in that. A lot of them have been adopted by farmers. But to be clear, all farmers need to adopt all those measures in as big a way as possible to ensure that we get that improvement in water quality. We're not denying that we don't need it. In terms of the derogation itself, we produce our milk, our beef and our lamb on a grass-based system here. Very, very few countries in Europe, maybe bar England, would have a system similar to us. And the derogation is hugely important. And as I said earlier, if we reduce our stock numbers, it's not going to deliver an improvement in water quality. So what we need to do is focus on how we can do that. And we are, through better targeting, through reduced nitrogen usage, through better targeting of it. And there's more than just farmers need to play their part here. Mm-hmm. And I've made this point consistently. We have a government, we have a planning process at the moment that if I want to invest in nutrient storage in the morning, there's a fair chance I won't have planning permission got in 2 years.
So you're not being supported to do what you want to do. But you're rejecting outright. Elaine has said, Francie, if I can ask you a question now, please. Elaine has said very clearly that in order to improve water quality, we have to reduce the number of cattle on the land. You're saying that is not going to work.
She said we had to reduce nitrogen usage and nitrogen leakage into our water courses. We get that. And I'm making the point to you that...
No, I think she said, Elaine, did you say that, or did you say that we have to reduce the number of cattle on the land?
The thing is that cattle are the biggest driver of nitrate loss. Over 60% of the loss of nitrogen to our water bodies comes from direct deposition by the cattle. So if you want to fix nitrogen, you have to look at the number of cattle on the land.
And the farmers are saying, and you heard Francie saying, that they're doing everything that they can, they're doing everything asked of them, and they're making progress. Do you accept that, Elaine?
I very much accept that farmers are doing what's asked of them. There is huge willingness. It is to be applauded, but it's not working. I mean, all you need to do is look at the report this morning. Like, it's not a good news story.
So where does this end?
This ends with political will to address it, but we're not seeing that. Instead, we're seeing politicians coming out ahead of the election swearing blind that they will protect the derogation. But the reality is the Commission have clearly said they are only interested in water quality results. They're not interested in our stories. They're not interested in our spin. So I wouldn't be particularly hopeful about the future of the derogation in Ireland. And that will have massive ramifications for farmers. Like as Francie said at the outset, this has huge economic and social impacts. And the fact that Ireland and the Irish government is not preparing for this scenario is reckless in the extreme.
Mm-hmm. But what you're suggesting, I mean, the other way to tackle this, reducing the number of cattle on the land, that has huge implications and ramifications for a very important industry for agriculture.
Indeed, it does. But we have legal obligations to reach good water quality by 2027. Like, you know, we have no choice. And the thing is, our waterways are the commons. All Irish people have a vested interest in our waterways. And surely it's in the interests of all Irish people to get this right and to improve the water quality.
If we do lose the derogation, Francie, like what advice are you going to give to your members who will be affected? How should they prepare for it? Because it would seem that this is what is rolling down the tracks if you take this report and that deadline of 2027.
Well, firstly, and I've made this point already. Farmers are absolutely 100% conscious about the need to improve our water quality. It's something that resonates with consumers. We export and we sell 90% of what we produce in this country outside of it. So if we want to maintain those exports, we need to be able to demonstrate to our consumers that water quality is a huge issue for us, that we're improving it, that we're taking the measures on farm that are going to deliver improvement. And as I said already, nitrogen usage, inorganic nitrogen usage does contribute to nitrates going into the water, and we've reduced that by 30% in the last 2 years.
But time it's not working, here. Francie. The report is telling us it's not working.
The report has said that basically we have stabilised our water quality from where it was last year. There's been no disimprovement. So I think we're stabilising it. I think we're on a journey that's going down the road that's going to see an improvement in water quality.
It has to improve, and it's not improving. Like, stabilisation is not enough.
Well, before you can improve it, you have to stop the rot. And I believe we've stopped the rot. And I think the measures that have been outlined by Chagas in the Better Farming for Water, if they're adopted by all farmers to the maximum level, you will see further stabilisation and improvement. Some water bodies have improved, some have disimproved. And we do need to look at it maybe in a catchment-by-catchment approach to see how we can target measures better on-farm to ensure that we get that improvement. But the crude instrument of reducing stock numbers is not going to deliver the improvement that some people think it will.
So, Francie, just one moment. If that plan that Francie talks about, the Chagas 8-point plan, is followed by every farmer in the country, will water quality improve?
Water quality will improve in areas where phosphorus and silt is a problem. So the measures are good for that. But the issue is that the measures, as I said already, don't adequately address nitrogen. So there might be small decreases in nitrogen. But when the majority of the nitrogen, when over 60% of the nitrogen is coming from the animals themselves, how are you going to address that? There are no measures in place to address that. And, you know, Francie's statement that reducing stocking density won't improve nitrogen loss, that's just scientifically inaccurate. There has been oodles of studies clearly demonstrating that the amount of nitrogen going onto the land clearly correlates with the amount of nitrogen coming off the land on free draining soils. The nitrogen is going on the land primarily from the cattle. It's inarguable. And until we all agree on that, we're at nothing. Like this, we're just going in circles here.
Francie?
So once again, I'll say it, Claire. How we improve it is we improve it by better targeted use of our nutrients, inorganic or organic, at the right time of the year. And I made the point that we need the government to get on board here, streamline the planning process in a way that we can invest in slurry storage capacity, ASAP, so we spread our nutrients at the right time of the year. We need support to do that, and in terms of nutrient loss, Soil fertility is a huge issue there as well. A lot more needs to be done on that. It's one of the Chagas one of the points in the Chagas A point plan. And you can't just say you're going to use a crude instrument of cutting livestock numbers when it's not going to, when science shows it's not going to deliver a discernible improvement is not the way to go.
All right, well, we're not going to reach agreement on that this morning, but thank you both, Francie Gorman from the IFA and Dr. Elaine McGough from Antashka. Coming up next, we're going to meet the Irish diving expert who's involved in a new mission to capture images of the Titanic in an expedition this summer.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.